Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 8. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 8. The Lord Jesus Christ has been dealing with the religious establishment. The religious establishment of the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, the Sanhedrin has been very upset with the Lord Jesus Christ because he doesn't fit within their mold. He didn't go to their schools. He's taking away their authority because they have tried to get a stranglehold on religion. And Jesus Christ is there to free them from the bonds of religion and show them the light and path to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God himself, that they may believe on him and have everlasting life. The Pharisees have tried to arrest him. They have tried to kill him. They've plotted against him. They've come up with schemes. And now they have come to the place where they're just interrupting the Lord Jesus Christ meetings to question and to confront him. And as they are confronting him in the Lord, in the Gospel record of John, chapter number 8, Jesus Christ exposed and told them that he was the light of the world. And the reason why they're having such a difficulty is because they rejected that light. And they're walking in darkness. They can't see things clearly. Well, as Jesus Christ is talking, it's not just them and the Pharisees, but Jesus was in the middle of teaching a crowd, and he is conscious of that as he's teaching the Pharisees, whereas they may reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the crowd is listening. And as Jesus Christ has showed that he was the light of the world, and to have this everlasting light, they had to believe on him, or they would die in their sins, the Bible says that many believed on him. Let's pick that up and see the continuation of this account in the Gospel record of John, chapter number 8. The Gospel record of John, chapter 8, notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 30. The Gospel record of John, chapter 8, and verse 30, the Bible says, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are of Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, one even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Because you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a very popular phrase that we find in the Gospel record of John, chapter number 8? The Gospel record of John, chapter 8, notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 32. Gospel record of John, chapter 8, verse 32, the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. And with the Lord's help, we want to study this passage as Jesus Christ explains the purpose of truth and what truth can do to free us from our bondage that we find ourselves in. The truth shall make you free. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, once again, we need your help, and I need your help. I need the energy. I need the strength. I need the knowledge. I need the wisdom. I need you to do your own work. So the best I know how, once again, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your Spirit, that you would get your own work accomplished, and we could trust you to get your own work done. And we love you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We cannot underemphasize the importance of truth within our life, that it is lies that put us in bondage. It is lies that deceive us and bring us the wrong direction. When we believe a lie, it ties us up. But Jesus said, when we believe in the truth, not a truth or someone's personal truth, but the truth shall make you free. That's an important phrase, an important concept. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's dealing with the Pharisees, he also has the crowd there. Remember, he begins by starting with the people who are saved, who just believed on him, by giving them instructions. And even as he deals with the Pharisees, he's also cognizant that there's people listening that need to have this freedom that comes from understanding and believing truth. If you don't mind, let's explore this passage together. The first thing I want to show you is the condition of real freedom. The condition of real freedom. Notice with me in verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews that believed on him. So here we have the people that we're addressing here. The people who just believed on him, the people who were listening to the conversation between Pharisees and Jesus, where Jesus said he was the light of the world, many of them believed on him, and Jesus now addresses the crowd. He still has the Pharisees there, but he addresses the crowd, and he says that if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Remember, the idea of a disciple is someone who's chosen to follow after Christ. They've made a decision to follow after Christ, and it's become a habit of following after him. Jesus said, you continue to follow after me, then ye are my disciples indeed. What is the qualification for being a disciple? To follow after Jesus. Why? He's the light of the world, and he's the truth. Following after him is what makes us his disciples. You are not a disciple if you're not reading your Bible. You are not a disciple if you're not spending time in church, being faithful to church. Why? Because you're missing the truth. And that it's the truth that will set you free. As we follow after God, he will give us truth, and that truth shall make us free. Notice what Jesus continues to explain, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. How? By following after him. Understand that truth is not known just by intellectual knowledge. It is only by following after truth, obeying truth, that we are following after the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we get to know it by experience, not just intellectual pursuit. God is not interested in us just knowing things. He wants us to know experience as we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. As we follow after him, an amazing thing happens is that the truth will make us free. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those that come to know the truth, it sets them free. Freedom is not found in religious establishments or religious traditions or even national heritage. It's found in the person and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That religion is bondage. Think about the Hebrew people. As Jesus is dealing with a religious establishment, they want to keep people in bondage, that they have to do this, and they have to do this, and they have to do this. And it becomes a stranglehold that it's a list of do's and don'ts. We look at our Catholic friends today, that it is a stranglehold and bondage of guilt, of pressure. You've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and then you've got to take care of this, and if you sin, you got to go make a confession, and you got to make absolution, and they've made it a system of works that it makes it so a person never knows for sure what their standing with God is. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I going to heaven? Am I not going to heaven? Am I right with God? Am I not right with God? And it becomes a turmoil. It becomes a bondage. It becomes a trap. Religion loves to trap people. I remember years ago when I was working in a laboratory that I had a lady that I'd been working with and trying to witness to and give the gospel to. And she had come from a Mormon background. And after witnessing and talking with her for many, many, many weeks, finally we got to the place where I was able to give another presentation of the gospel, to present her the Lord Jesus Christ as the Bible explains it, that we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve to go to hell. Because of that we have no escape, but Jesus is our only way of escape. And all we have to do is accept Jesus as our Savior. And I remember saying afterwards, I said, "Do you believe what I told you is simple?" She goes, "Oh, that's so simple. Do you believe what I told you was biblical?" She goes, "Oh, it's straight from the Bible." I said, "Do you believe what I told you was true?" And she hesitated. And she said, "I had a teenage son, 15 years old, and he died in a car accident. And after the car accident, my church, we baptized for the dead. And in order to get him out of hell, we had several people get baptized on his behalf to give him enough merit, to give him enough credit, to get him out of hell." She goes, "If I accept what you believe right now, I also have to accept that my son's in hell." And she goes, "I don't know if I'm ready to believe that yet." You see, what happened is that religion entangled her. The truth would set her free for her own soul. But because she was entangled in religion, it kept her from moving forward. It kept her from believing. She was in bondage and turmoil and miserable because that truth had not set her free. What a horrible condition to fall themselves in. So the condition for real freedom is truth. The truth of the Bible. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. It is only the truth. It is the essential proof is genuine saving faith. Is the idea that we're continuing in God's word. And as we continue in God's word, as we continue to have truth, God sets us free from bondage more and more and more. What a wonderful thing. That people needed truth. And we know that deception's all around us. They need truth. One of the first laws of compulsory education, public education within America, was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. And in this, it was passed that children were required to learn to read at an early age. The reasoning was is that if children could learn to read at an early age, that they would know the Bible because they could read it for themselves. And anyone who knows the Bible cannot be deceived with the atrocities that happened in Europe. Remember, in Europe, you had the Crusades, which was horrible. You had the Inquisition, which was horrible. Why were those things allowed to happen within Europe? Because people did not know the Bible. A Bible-believing people would not accept those things to occur. The truth would set them free. And so the founding fathers inside of our country had determined, let's let people learn to read early. And if they could learn to read early, they could read the Bible for themselves. And people who are biblically literate will remain free. That's important. Why do we have such a problem with bondage today? Bondage of sin, bondage of religion, bondage of emotions, bondage of influences, bondage of wrong thinking. We have so much bondage today and so much misery because people are no longer in their Bible. Why do we have people inside of this church that are miserable? because the truth hasn't set them free. They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in following after Christ. They're walking in darkness. They're walking in bondage. When the easiest thing in the world is to allow them to have the freedom that comes. One of the things we say over and over and over in this church is that the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be in the Word of God yourself. Why? Because the truth shall set you free. It shall not just set you free, but the phrasing here is make you free. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have this liberty, this freedom to follow after God, this freedom from sin, this freedom from bondage, even the freedom of emotions and freedom from wrong thinking, because we have the truth. Oh, I cannot tell you how important it is for you to follow after Christ by experience, by example, by being obedient. And as you're obedient to the truth, you'll know the truth. As you're obedient to God, He'll reveal truth. As you're following after Him, He shall make you free. Oh, wouldn't it be nice not to be miserable no more? Wouldn't it be nice not to feel like you have to sin anymore? Wouldn't it be nice to have freedom from some of the wrong thinking that you know has kept you on the wrong path? It's following after Christ, being obedient to His word, and His truth shall make you free. That is the condition. Notice it continues on in verse number 33. They answered him and said, "We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall make us free?" So here are these religious people who have all these rules and regulations that their religion is complicated, who dare to say, "What are you talking about? We're Abraham's seed." That carries the idea that we're Hebrew people. "We Hebrew people have always been free." Well, that's a pretty bold statement. "We have never been in bondage to any man." Well, they don't know their Bible, because this history of the Hebrew people is a history of bondage. Where were they at? Egypt. What were they doing in Egypt? They were in bondage. They had to cry, "Lord, get us out." And God had to send a deliverer. They went through the wilderness wanderings. They finally got to the promised land. As they come into the promised land, what happens? They refuse to follow after God in the book of Judges, and they got in bondage over and over. You would have a neighboring nation who would come and put them in bondage, and they would cry out to God, and God would have to deliver them, and they would refuse to follow a God again, so they got put in bondage. It was a series of bondage. Later on, they said, "We want a king." And God says, "No, you don't want a king, because you know what He's going to do? He's going to put you in bondage." And they got put in bondage. They refused to follow after God. And so God allowed the Assyrian Empire to take the northern kingdom and separate them all throughout the Middle Eastern world in bondage. The southern kingdom refused to obey God. And in 586 BC, the Babylonian Empire came and took the southern kingdom, and they put them in bondage. When the Persians came, they, out of their own ideas, gave liberty to the Hebrew people to go back and build their land, but they were still a province of Persia, and they were still under the domain of Persia and at the whims of Persia, and not everyone returned. They were still in bondage. When the Greeks came, and you study the history of in between the two testaments, between the Old and New Testament, the 400 years of silence, you had the Greeks that came between the Ptolemies of Egypt and the Seleucids of Syria, who were using the nation of Israel as a political football. They were in bondage. As they are speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, Rome is in charge, and they're in bondage, and they're all moaning and complaining because Rome's in charge. They are not free. They're not free of religion. They're not free politically. They're not free from their sins. They are just blinded. They don't see the chains they have on them. And yet they dare go to the Lord Jesus Christ in religious fervor that said, "Oh, we're of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. I don't know what you're talking about." They can't see their chains because of the darkness. They're refusing the light. And they're upset that Jesus said, ye shall be made free. We are free. We're Hebrews. We're Jews. How dare you say we're not free? That's how blinded they are. They can't see the chains. Notice as it goes on in verse number 34. Jesus answered them, and verily, verily, remember that word verily, verily carries the idea of truly, truly. So let me tell you a truth. I'm going to emphasize this truth. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sinners. You sin because you are a sinner. You're not a sinner because you sin. It's the other way around. No one has to teach a baby to sin. And before you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't help but to sin. You're a slave to sin. If sin calls, you obey. You do what sin wants you to do. You are in bondage. People are in bondage today because of sin, that it has those thick chains that keep them tied down. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Now, in verse 34, it says, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And guess what? A servant doesn't have a permanent home. You just have a temporary dwelling place. A servant doesn't belong there. It's not his home. He may live there for a while, but it is not a permanent dwelling. Jesus Christ said, guess what? I can give you a different home. I can give you a permanent home, one of yourself, not one that you're borrowing for a while. Verse number 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Instead of being a slave to sin, I can give you freedom. Instead of being a servant, being in bondage, I can free you where you no longer have to sin. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That we don't have to sin anymore. Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who can make us free. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we need. It is only him that could personally free us. And this freedom is not temporary. It's not shallow. It is complete. It's inward. It's eternal. Jesus Christ could give us freedom. What is the condition of this freedom? Truth. To have truth and obey truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. As we follow him and believe what he said and accept him as our personal Savior, that is an action, then we're free indeed. Understand that truth always produces action. This is going to be very key as we continue going on, that it's not the idea of just knowing facts and figures, but obeying that truth as God has revealed it, because he is the light. Notice, if you don't mind, a second thing. We see, first of all, the condition of this freedom, that you must have truth and obey truth. We see a second thing, the rejection of God's word, the rejection of God's truth. Notice verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Jesus is acknowledging, I know your lineage. I know your Hebrew people. I know that you're from that bloodline. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. He says, hey, you consider yourself Abraham's family, but you're trying to kill me. Why? Because I don't have a place in you. There's something missing. You don't know who I am. You're still in bondage. Verse 38. I speak that which I've seen of my father, and ye do what you have seen of your father. Now, he's starting to lead into something that is going to be a full-blown explosion here in a second. But Jesus says, I obey my father, you obey your father. I obey my nature, you obey your nature. Jesus is God, and he obeys his nature. These people have a different father. We'll see that in a second. And they obey what their father tells them to do. They are obedient just to the wrong master. That's a very interesting idea. You are obedient to something. Some people will think, well, I don't have to go to church. I have freedom. You will serve something or someone. Every single one of us do. Most people outside of the church serve sin. That is their master. That's a horrible thing. Some people serve religion. That is their master. Some people serve something else, another slave driver. Every one of us serve and obey something. We might as well serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, because he gives us true freedom where everything else leads to bondage. Notice as it continues to go on in verse number 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Remember what I just said before, that truth always produces action. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the Hall of Faith chapter. It says, by faith, and then gives each of those names. Then it has an action verb, by faith Abraham, and then explains what he does. By faith Moses, and then explains what he does. By faith Sarah, and then explains what she does. Over and over, faith produces action. Jesus said, if you were truly Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? He found the truth and he obeyed the truth. If they were spiritually Abraham's children, if they acted like Abraham's children, they would behave like Abraham's children. They would see truth and then it produces action. They would obey truth and that truth would set them free. Verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham wouldn't kill someone because they told him the truth. There were times that he was wrong and they told him the truth and he fixed it. Faith produces action. That's freedom. But they wanted to kill Jesus because they were in bondage and they didn't want to see the chains they had. They didn't like the truth exposing where they were at. Notice verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Once again, he's placing this emphasis. You're not Abraham's spiritual children. You don't have my father. You obey your father. Now this is leading in. Verse number 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they go, all right, fine, you won't accept Abraham. We obey our father, God. But they also make a veiled implication. We're not born of fornication. Now, there is rumors out there that Jesus Christ was born out of wedlock. Why? Because Joseph was very clear that this is my stepson. This opened up scandal. This made a big deal with the idea that they said, well, you don't know who your father is. You want to keep talking about our father? We at least know who our father is. This was kind of a veiled threat, a jab at the Lord Jesus Christ with his so-called questionable lineage. You see, now they're trying to attack the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't like what he's saying, and they're trying to rile him up, trying to get him off topic, trying to jab at him, trying to have a superiority over him. But notice the Lord Jesus Christ continues on. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came out from God. Neither came I out of myself, but he that sent me. Jesus said, listen, if you were of my father, then you'd love me because I'm God. I'm God robed in flesh. I came from my father. I'm the Son of God. If you love the Father, you would love what came out of him. You would love his children. You would love his family. But you don't. You're trying to kill me. He's saying, this is evidence that you don't know my Father because you want to kill me. Goes on, verse number 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why? Because they're in darkness. They've rejected truth. They can't see truth because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they don't see the truth, they're not obeying the truth, they're rejecting it. Now remember, it's all because they've already previously rejected Jesus that they cannot see what the light is showing. It is because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not accept the truth nor follow the truth because they've rejected God's word. What here we see here is one more thing, the evidence of a different father. So Jesus Christ starts off by saying the condition of freedom, you have to obey truth. Second thing, but you've disobeyed truth. You know what this leads to? The evidence that you're not of the same lineage. You have a different father. Notice in verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now remember, this whole time he's been leading up to this truth. They've been trying to say, well, my daddy's better than yours, and my daddy's better than yours. So they've been leaning up. They started with the idea, well, our father is Abraham. Well, our father is God. And the whole time, Jesus is trying to say, no, you're obeying your father. You just don't know who your father is. You don't know who your daddy is. And they try to jab that back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, let me tell you who your spiritual father is. Let me tell you who it is you're bonded to. Let me tell you who it is you obey. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What we learn here is a very important truth. Not everyone, or when you are born, you are not born in God's family. Every single one of us, because we're born in our trespasses and sin, we're born as sinners, our spiritual father is the devil. I understand that there are Christian religions that try to teach that everyone's a child of God. That is not true. The Hebrew people, the Pharisees, thought they were. We're God's children because we have this lineage. Your heritage, your national pastime, does not determine your place in the family of God. What determines your family of God? By you realizing that you're a sinner. Because of your sin, you violated God's law. You deserve to go to hell. That Jesus died for you, and you personally accept Jesus as your Savior. When you do that, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and makes you a different person. And you are spiritually born into God's family. How is my children put in my family? Well, we know that there is a such thing as adoption, but my kids were born into my family. That's how they become blood related to me. They become part of my family. They were born into it. How are we put in God's family? We are born into God's family by being spiritually rebirthed. Understand that God does not have spiritual grandchildren. Everyone has to be born again by their own accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no grandfather inside of it. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Everyone has to become a child of God themselves by accepting the free gift of salvation. Now, if you've never accepted the free gift, the Bible's very clear, as Jesus is directing to the Pharisees, as well as anyone who's never been saved, ye are of your father, the devil. And guess what? You're going to act like your father because of that spiritual influence. Remember, he talked about Abraham. Listen, if you were truly Abraham's spiritual children, you would act like Abraham. But because your father is the devil, you're going to act like him. What does he act like? Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. What is the lust? Something you desire. He says, just like Satan desires things, you desire things that you shouldn't have, that's not yours to have. He was a murderer from the beginning. And Jesus is pointing out many times, just even in this passage, you've tried to kill me, you want to kill me, you want to kill me. Just like your father was a murderer, and guess what? You want to murder too. Notice he goes, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Satan didn't obey truth, and because he's your spiritual father, you don't want to obey truth. And Satan didn't obey truth because there was no truth in him. Just like there's no truth in us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he was a liar and a father of it. You know why you're lying and deceiving yourself? You know why you are fooling yourselves and trying to lie and fool others? Because your father, your spiritual father, Satan, he was a liar. And not just a liar, he was the father of it. He was the progenitor of it. All lies came from Satan. He was the first one to be deluded and thought he was something he was not. He was the first one who thought out of the delusion he could face God and win. He was deluded. He didn't have the truth. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Jesus said, I told you the truth, but you don't believe me. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus said, all right, you've been dealing with me for a while. Is there anyone who wants to accuse me of doing something wrong openly, that I broke the law, that I've murdered, that I've killed? Show me something. He goes on and says, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? You can't convict me of any sin, then why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe what I say? Why do you still reject it when there's no evidence to reject me? Verse number 47, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore heareth them not, because you're not of God, with the implication you're of your father the devil. Now we start off that the truth shall make you free. And the truth is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is God's word, and it's not just intellectually knowing that, but obeying the truth that makes us free. Following after Christ, becoming his disciple, becoming a learner of him, becoming obedient to the things he's given to us. Well, when we don't obey the Lord, we reject God's word, we're still in darkness, we're still not in the right family, we misbehave where we don't see things, and the evidence that we're not in God's family is our behavior. Very clearly, when we're still in bondage, when we don't accept truth, when we have an idea of murder, when we have the idea of lying, when we're deceiving ourselves because we can't see the things that are going on, that's evidence of someone that's not in the right family. It's the neighbor's kids. As opposed to that, when you become born again, there's going to be evidence that you have God as your father. The book of 1 John takes time to go over those spiritual evidences that someone is part of God's family. And there are major evidences that everyone needs to have within their heart. Nothing that you bring up, but something that naturally happens. If something as big as God moves in something as small as my heart, there's going to be some changes. And there's going to be evidence of those changes. There's evidence of the Father that we have. How do we switch families? By accepting the truth. The truth that we're a sinner. Because of my sin, I violated God's law and I deserve to go to hell. But I've accepted him that he was God and he died for me and I accepted him personally. When I received that truth, it made me free. Now, as a Christian, I continue to follow after God's word. And the more that I follow God's word, the more that I obey God's word, the freer he makes me in my mind. He frees me from the bondage of sin. I no longer have to sin. He frees me from so many things that torment other people. When we look at a world, we find a world full of torment, full of bitterness, full of hatred, full of bondage. And that's not what God desires from us. There's a true liberty when God makes us free. And we have a choice. Do we follow him or do we not follow him? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And there are many people at the sound of my voice who need freedom, who need to be made free because they have bondage in their life, the bondage of sin, the bondage of religion, the bondage of wrong thinking, the bondage of emotions, the bondage of so many other things. And every single case, they can be made free by the truth of your word, that there's not a single spiritual problem that cannot be dealt with from your precious word. Help us to be a type of people that first of all know for sure that we're in heaven, or that we're going to heaven because of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us also to be a people that determine to have more and more truth in our life, that we obey and that we follow. And a natural occurrence of us following after you is that we will be made free. What is the freedom that we have for wrong thinking? By obeying the truth, obeying what you've given us to do. Not a truth, not someone's truth, but the truth. Lord, I'm asking that you would give great victory and that it would start off with a determination to read and obey God's word for themselves, and that you would free them from the bondage that they have in their lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920
920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.